the word of your testimony, and denying yourself, even unto death. And you go, how can you do that? And how is it possible to overcome the flesh to such a degree you're willing to die for your faith? I know Christians who won't even give up a hamburger for their faith. I'm serious. You ask them to fast, oh, I can't do that. No. But yet there comes a place when we can get into a place where we can actually get to a place where God is trying to get us to. Now listen, God isn't trying to get us to deny self and pick up our cross and follow him. Oh, by the way, he said on a daily basis, not just once in a while, on a daily basis. Why is he trying to get us that? Because he's trying to get some of the promises he gave us into our lives. If a vessel is filled, you can't get more into it. God wants you to empty out your vessel so he can pour into you his will and his promises.
Amen.
This isn't something that he's trying to deny you to make you, oh, I just can't do this and I can't do that and I want to do this and I want to do that. It's not that. It really isn't. God was trying to get the nation of Israel into the best possible position to have a good and godly life. That was his whole purpose, that all his goodness could be poured out on this nation. God hasn't changed. God is still trying to get all his goodness poured out into the church. You've been engrafted into the vine. You're part of the nation of Israel now. The promise of Abraham belongs to you. All those blessings out there that God shows us in his scripture are ours. But we're so filled with self, there's no room for him. Amen? You teach, when you got children, you teach your children, what do you teach your children? You teach your children to do this and this. Why? Because when you do this, you'll be blessed. When you do this, you're going to be cursed. You may not use those words. But I'll tell you what, any child who's got half a brain knows enough to get on the good side of mommy and daddy. Amen? They do what they can to please them. Because in that, when they go to ask for something, mom and dad, sure, honey, you've been good all week. You've been good all month. You've been good all year. Anything you ask me, if it's my ability to give to you, I'm going to give to you. Right? Now, if your earthly parents are that way, and they're still fallible, they still have the flesh to deal with, and they have all this other stuff to deal with, but they're willing to bless you beyond your wildest dreams to the best of their ability, whatever they can. They may not be able to afford a Mercedes, but maybe they'll help you get an old, broken-down Volkswagen that still runs. But if that's the best that he can do, hallelujah, be grateful for what they give you.
Amen.
Don't look to someone else and say, well, their parents give them this. No, don't do that. Because you don't know what they've instilled in that child. But I'm telling you this. God's promises are true, yea and amen, what we said this morning. And if you will get to that place of understanding and you will be willing to deny yourself, that means that you're going to start living your life the way God intended you to live your life. You're going to make sure that you're not in any unforgiveness. You're going to make sure you're walking in love. You're going to make sure you put all your hope in Christ and not in this worldly system. You're going to change some things. That means you're not going to allow the flesh to dictate to you what is good for you. My flesh says chocolate cake is great for me. A deep, dark chocolate cake with chocolate, deep, dark chocolate ice cream. Ice cream too. Yeah, I can add that to it. But my body's telling me it's not good for you. Amen? So I can't always have what I want. But if I want to have the best out of life, I've got to give my body what it needs. God looks at your life and says, there's a lot of wants, but what he wants to give you is what you need. Amen? And so that's where we're going with this. This is not trying to get you to, because I keep thinking of this. How many people actually believe that they don't like God because God doesn't let them do what they want to do? And what happens is, in the end, they get what they want, but they find out what they want isn't what they should have had. Amen? It's part of that battle of the flesh and the spirit and all this going on. So my goal, and our goal here, and my goal for myself and for you, is to find out what it takes for you to receive and experience the very presence of God in your life to such a degree that whatever you ask for, you have the assurance in yourself that you're going to have it. I know if I ask God. So what do? You make sure your mouth runs right. You don't just let it run all over the place. Remember, what was it? I'd never seen the whole movie, but I saw part of it. Sandler. He became God. Oh, Bruce Almighty, that's it. Yeah, it was Sandler, wasn't it? Oh, same thing, what's the difference? They all look alike to me. They all look alike. Anyways, whichever one it was. See, he was trying to tell God this is the way it should be. And God said, well, if you think that's the way it should be, go ahead and do it your way. And pretty soon, all he could do was whatever pleased him. Until he finally got to a place where all he could hear were the cries of the people. And all of a sudden he realized the power and the responsibility it is to make decisions in life. So many of us don't make that distinction. We think that, well, as soon as I see that piece of chocolate cake, I'm going to eat it. Without stopping saying to yourself, what benefit is this of me? What can I do with it? Where should I go otherwise? So what God is trying to get us to is to understand you have such great power available to you. Such great power in you and with you. That power is released through your mouth. And when you start speaking life, you start acting life. When you speak death, you start walking the pathway of death and destruction. There's power that God has made available to each and every one of us. I want to take you back just for a moment. We go back to Hebrews 3 and 4. But I want to take you back to the place where God was revealing himself to the nation of Israel. Go with me to Exodus 6, if you would. Here he is talking to Moses. Why is this important? We'll go back to Hebrews 3. And he said, if you will hear the voice of the Spirit. Amen? If. Today, if you will hear his voice. If you will hear his voice. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to you right now. Now listen to what he's saying to. Now, again, I want you to go back. Remember I said earlier when we did those scriptures, we talked about those scriptures. I said, once you speak those things out loud, there's something in the heart called the Spirit of God who quickens those words to you. And if you will repeat them, as it says in Joshua, we looked at last week, 1 and 8, it said, meditate on these day and night. If you take those scriptures that were given and meditate on them, what's that mean? To mumble them or to speak them quietly to yourself. Day and night. For 30 days. Watch the transformation start happening. Watch the transformation. Most people won't do that. They'll do it once or twice or three times. They may do it for a day or two and then all of a sudden get set aside. But the Word of God is alive. It's active. It's powerful. It can transform your life and can change your circumstance. And it'll bring you to the realization God does not lie. And what he says, He's faithful to perform. So if you can find a promise, you will see God answer the promise. Now listen, it takes time to get to this place. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to get to a place where you know if you ask, you shall receive. Not next year. The moment you ask will be the moment you have what you ask for. That's awesome power. Do you understand how much power that is? How much, what, do you know? Let me ask you this. Will God withhold any good thing from you? No, he said it. Why would he withhold anything from you? Anything. What barrier is it between you and him that would stop you from receiving what God has for you? Amen? Let me show you what God is trying to do right now. Go back in Exodus 6. I'm going to start in verse 2. And God spoke to Moses. All right? I like to go this way. And God spoke to David, meaning me. God spoke to you. Put your name there. Okay? Ready? God spoke to you. Now you shall... Wait a minute. Excuse me. I'm sorry. God spoke to Moses, or David, and said to me, I am the Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm listening. How many know if you, God speaks, you listen? Amen. Amen. If God's speaking, I want to hear what he's got to say. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss one dot or one tittle of his word. He said, if you will hear his voice. Listen to what he says. He said, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. He said, I have come as El Shaddai to you. How did he do that? I looked around. I saw the moon and the stars. I saw the trees. Guess what? I did not need a science teacher to tell me where they came from. I did not need a pastor to tell me where they came from. I knew there was a creator out there who did this. El Shaddai, the great and almighty God. I didn't know him, but he proved himself to me that he is real just by all that was around me. I could look out there. Now, I didn't appreciate him as God, and I didn't appreciate him as El Shaddai. But I know this, that El Shaddai one day grabbed a hold of me and yanked me up out of darkness and brought me into the light of his dear son. Only a mighty God could do that. Not just some wooden statue someplace and not something hanging over here or that. But there is a mighty God, El Shaddai, who can grab you for one instant in this place and take you right out of there. Oh, glory. There's the beginning. That's the beginning of your journey. That's only the beginning of your journey. It's not the end of it. Go on. Look what he says here. Hallelujah. God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. What is Lord? Jehovah. That translates to Jehovah. They knew me as God Almighty. Now I'm going to show myself to them as Jehovah. Let me go on a little bit here. I'll come back to that in a minute. I have also established my covenant with them. How many then are part of God's covenant right now? Amen. Jesus set up a new covenant, didn't he? I'm part of that covenant. Listen to this. Who set up the covenant with them? You didn't. God did. Amen. If God set up the covenant can't be broken except by God. Now, you can miss the blessings of the covenant. You can miss those. You can't break them. Covenant was established between our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus. Amen? And because of that, we can't break the covenant. We may never enter into covenant. In other words, there may be some here that say, oh, yeah, I believe Jesus is Lord. Yeah, I believe Jesus. Doesn't mean they're part of the covenant. How do you know they're part of the covenant? Because you see the fruit of it. You'll know them by their fruit. I mean, it's simple. All right? Now, look what he says. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. In other words, God is trying to bring you into a promise that you were strangers to. I've never experienced God as my healer. I've never experienced God as my provider. I've never experienced. What's the name? His name is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. Jehovah Sitkanu, he is my righteousness. Jehovah Rapha, he is my healer. Jehovah Rohi, he is my shepherd. Jehovah Makadosh, he is my sanctifier. Come on now. What does Jehovah mean? It means the very presence of God operating in your life. You can only call him Jehovah when you see and experience his provision. They knew him as God, but they didn't know him as provider. So he was going to show himself as an everyday God in their life, making provision for them, moving everything out of the way to get them into the very promise that he promised them through a covenant relationship. Come on. The promise of God. God made a promise to them, and he said, my promises I will fulfill. I will never miss it. We can. But God will never, okay. He's like the donkey. How many here are donkeys? No, you don't want to put your hand up. Keep it down. All right? What happens? The man wants the donkey to move. The donkey won't move. So he takes a stick and he puts a carrot on the end of it and he puts it in front of the donkey and the donkey keeps walking to get hold of the carrot. That's not our God. He didn't make you a donkey. You made him. He made you in his image, in his likeness. He calls you his children. You are his children. You are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He is not going to stick a carrot in front of you to keep you walking with him and not give you the carrot. I don't know if that was a good analogy, but it was the best that came up at that moment. Let me go on. And I have also heard the groaning of the children. Anybody here been groaning under a burden? Anybody been groaning under the burden of sickness or poverty or problems with whatever? Relationships? Do you think God doesn't hear? Don't you know that everything you say, even in secret, even if you go in your closet and speak it, that God hears? Don't you know that even if you think it, God hears? He said, I know the very thoughts you have. Whew. He's a big God. Nothing's hidden from him. Nothing's hidden from him. So why do you keep it hidden? You're not hiding it. God hears your groanings of what's going on in your life. God wants you to know that he hears, and if he hears, what's the word say? We know that if he hears our prayers, he what? Answers. We have that confidence. So don't let it be just, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you now that you hear my prayer. I need to be relieved of this burden, of this thing that has caused me this pain, this suffering, whatever it is. And I know, Father, you care for me. And because you care for me, I know that you provide for me. You are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And all good things come from above. So I thank you now, Father, that you relieve me of this burden. Whatever that burden is, tell him. He's faithful to listen. And I know if he hears your voice. Now the key is, just because God hears us doesn't mean that we're listening to him. Can you imagine the man that was blind? Jesus came up and he spit on the ground and made some mud and put it on his eyes. He said, go wash. Why? Number one, good thing he was blind, because then he didn't see him spit in the mud and put it on his eyes. He don't know where it came from. Praise God. Amen. What would we do if we could see that? Imagine standing next to you, Wanda's blind, and I'm standing here, and Jesus comes up and spits on. Do you see what he's doing? He's spitting in the mud. He put it on your eyes. Blah. Really? Sometimes when God's going to speak to you, it's going to sound silly, but do it. Listen to him. He's going to speak to you. He's going to tell you. All right, you ask. Now, here's what you got to go do. Remember the man that had the leprosy from what was his name? Anyways, he went to the prophet and said to the prophet, come on and heal me. And the prophet said, why don't you go wash in the river 7 times? And he said, why am I going to go wash in that dirty old river? We got cleaner rivers at our house. Why would I go there? He wanted him to come out and do some magnificent thing, do something great, do something to prove who you are. He said, go wash in the river. Finally, at least his servant said, go, if he told you to go wash, what's the big deal? Just go wash in the river. Went and washed in the river, came up 7 times, totally free of leprosy. God is speaking to us right now. There's things in our lives that need to be dealt with, and he's telling us what to do, and we're dismissing them out of hand. He's bringing scriptures out to us, and he said, listen, meditate on these day and night. Oh, there's got to be something more magnificent. No. I remember Kenneth Hagin. He was a young teenager. He was 16 or so. He was in bed. Everybody expected him to die any minute. And he laid in bed, and he couldn't do anything. So he's laying there. What's he do? He had to do something. He didn't have TV. He didn't have the internet. He didn't have radio. The only thing he had was a Bible to read. Oh, my goodness, that's it. Everybody tried to talk him into going out and do something. Get out in the sun. Go on out there. No. He sat in his room, read the Bible, until one day it clicked. God said, I'm healed. And he got up out of that bed, and he fell down, got back in the bed, got up out of the bed, fell down, got back into the bed, got up out of the bed. And he kept doing that because all he did for months on end was to read what God did for him about his healing. Did nothing else. See, what we want is a quick miracle. We want something to happen right this second. And God is saying, there's all kinds of ways God operates. He does do miracles. And praise God for miracles. But he might do a miracle for you today, but wants you to grow up and believe his word tomorrow. It doesn't change. God doesn't change. Hallelujah. Where are we? Let's go back there again. I heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. God, bring that to God. Father, you have a covenant with me, and I have a covenant with you. And your promises in that covenant are yea and amen. I accept that covenant. Your word, and you bring the promise to him. Look what he says. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord Jehovah. I'll bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I'll bring you out under the burdens. They were under the old covenant. It says when they came out of Egypt, there was not one sick among them. There was over 600,000 men, not counting women and children. It didn't say they left the elderly behind. It did not say that they left all those with leprosy behind. It did not say all those who were sick and can't walk or whatever were left behind. No. God delivered them out of it, and he delivered them all out of it. God is in no respecter of persons. He's not going to do it for one and not for the other. He's not going to. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. He brought them all out. Listen. I'll bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. I'll rescue you from their bondage. And I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Oh, my gosh. How many have been redeemed? Me. I've been redeemed from what? What have you been redeemed from? Do you know? The curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? He said, whoever does not do as I command him to do, all these things will come about. Look in Deuteronomy 28. Find out. Every sickness he named, and he said, whatever wasn't named here is also part of that curse. Being redeemed from the curse means that somebody paid a price to get you out from under that curse. So that means you're under the blessing. The blessing. Now go back to Deuteronomy 28 and look at all the blessings. He said, I'll remove all those sicknesses, all those diseases. He said, you're not going to be a borrower. You will be a lender, but you'll never be a borrower. You will never have any lack in your life whatsoever. That was the blessing of God had spoken over the nation of Israel. If you only do what I ask you to do, I'm going to tell you what to do, and that'll bring you right into my promise. How important is it to hear the voice of God? How important is it to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? We can read this all day long. That's what I said this morning when we first started. All those scriptures we talked about, all those we spoke out loud, mean absolutely nothing if the Holy Spirit doesn't quicken that to you. You know how many people read this thing and never get anything more than just reading the book? Now, they get up front and they'll give you good messages. They'll make you hip, hip, hurrah, jay, yay, all this. But it's not that that makes you free. It's the truth that sets you free. The truth of what God is doing, what he did, what he will do, and what he's doing right now. God hasn't changed. If he told you he'll do it, he'll do it. If you can find his promise and you get a hold of the promise and you listen to the voice of the Spirit, when will that happen? Now listen, you may sit there and look at that promise and go over it and over it and over and over, but one of these days, all of a sudden the light goes on. Bam, there it is. It's mine. He said it. I believe it now. At first, it's just an action. You're just doing it over and over. You don't understand it. You don't get it. But it takes time for that word to start digging out all that junk and all that fallow ground, as the Bible calls it. That's a hardened heart that has already been separated from God's promises, already caught up in their own way of thinking and doing things, thinking this is my God, this is the way God intended it to be. No. Go back into Hebrews 3 with me. Look what he said there. Hallelujah. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Verse 7, verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Do not. He's not talking about back in Exodus now. He's brought it back up into this time. Now he's bringing it all the way up to us. There's a time when we get into, and we just somehow, we started this walk in Galatians, he talks about. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be perfected in the flesh? We ignore the truth of the gospel, what God was saying. He said, well, look, back up here. Wait a minute. Let's see if I can find it. I'm looking for it. Don't go away. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us, as well as to them, right? If you sat under any teaching at all, the gospel was preached to you. Amen? As well as to them. Now listen. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the gospel is being preached, and we hear it, but it does no good to us. We walk out of here, we go home, and all week long we're just like we were before we got there. Before we heard the message, nothing's changed. Because we refuse by a hardened heart to accept the word of God to bring transformation to our lives. Why is it so quiet in here? Listen to what he said after that. For we who have believed do enter into that rest. What's he talking about, that rest? Well, in the scriptures, there's many different rests. There's the rest of the eternal rest. When we go and we're in heaven, that's the eternal rest. But there's other, the rest where Jesus took his disciples and set them apart for a while because they were so busy with people coming and going, they finally had to have a physical rest. There's a time when the body needs just to relax and be at peace. There's the Sabbath rest where it was set apart, and God set it apart for man. We needed it. Amen? And that time, it belongs to the Lord. We're to spend our time with the Lord. We're supposed to give him that time. We need to hear and get instructions. But there's also a rest when the promise of God quickens our heart and we receive that promise. We're no longer under the burden of that problem. And we get that rest. That's the rest we're talking about. That's the rest we stop struggling every day. We stop struggling all week to meet our needs. We stop fussing and arguing and complaining about what's going on around us. This world, we're in the world. The scriptures say we're in the world but not of the world. If we're not of it, look, let me make this as an example. If you see somebody over there and they've got no clothes, no home, they're sitting under the tree, have no food. You can look over there and you can feel bad for them. But when you come under the compassion of God, you have to do something about it. You can look over there and you can even have compassion for them, but the thing is, you're not under their burden. You're free from it. You understand what I'm saying? There's a burden that we all experience in some form or fashion. And when you're under that burden, you don't get a lot of rest. When you're under the burden of financial, whatever you want to call it, devastation, or you're financially you're not capable of living good the way God intended you to live without fear and without want, and you lack, lack is in your life, and you've got that going on in your life, that becomes burdensome. When you have to work two or three jobs, that's a burden. You understand what I'm saying? When you can't make your bills every month, that's a burden. And God doesn't see you at rest when that is you're focused on that and you constantly got you weighed down. God wants you to be free from that. Same with sickness. Same with relationships that are a mess. God wants you to be free from that. He wants you to be at rest. Why? Because you know if you ask, you shall receive. Because you know your Father in heaven has heard you. Now you know. Yeah, but nothing's changed. Yes, it has. You put your care in His hands rather than you carrying them. Something changed. God is now at work in your life. But how I know? Because I heard his voice speak to me. He said, turn all your cares over to me, for I care for you. I'm your provider. I'm Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I know I'm working in your life right now. Now you can go to sleep and be at peace. Now you can lay down at night and put your head on your pillow, not wake up in the middle of the night concerned about what's going on. My Father heard. And he promised me he'll answer. God sees what's going on in the world. God sees what's going on in America. You know what I think? I think my God's a big God. He's big enough to take care of this problem. You understand? It doesn't matter what it is. There isn't anything too great for God. What did he say here? Listen to what he says. Beware, brethren, verse 12 of chapter 3. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you, who's he talking to? Us. You know, just like the other when I told you before and I was reading over there, I said, put your name in there. He's talking to us. Put your name there. Oh, Lord, don't let this be me. Because it goes on to say, if any of you have an evil heart. Oh, not me, Lord. Who's he talking to? Believers. I wish you wouldn't bring that stuff out. I know. I wish you wouldn't, too. But maybe he's trying to get something across to us. We can ignore it. We can set it aside. We can pretend it's not real. We can say, well, that's not me. I'm all right. Fine. Praise God. But there are some here or there or on the wherever who need to hear this. Unfortunately, there's a lot that will never hear this because they won't be around. But we're not talking about the world out there right now. We're talking about the church. Listen to what he says. Beware lest there be any in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, from Jehovah, the provider, the living God that's working in our lives, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Amen? So what happens is there's something that's going on that we can't see. There's a hardness beginning in some hearts. We can't see them, though. But if we continually tell them, get ready, God's about to do something great in your life. Get ready, God's about to do something great in your life. And you keep telling them, pretty soon what they're going to do is they're going to start believing maybe what they hear rather than what they feel. It's a daily thing. You notice what he said there. But exhort one another daily while it's called today. Don't wait till tomorrow to get the opportunity to share with somebody, because somebody in this place right now, I guarantee it, there's not a lot of people in here, but right now there's somebody in here that their heart is getting harder and harder to the gospel that's being preached. And when you have a hard heart, you cannot mix that gospel with faith, because faith comes out of a heart of love. And love doesn't come out of a hard heart. Well, yes, it does. Love of self. Love of self comes out of a hard heart. So what do we need to do? Encourage one another. Continually encourage one another. Bring truth forward. Speak life to them, not death. Watch your words, what you speak. Don't judge one another. Forgive, always forgive. Never hold any unforgiveness towards anyone. Don't struggle with these things. God doesn't want you to run your life down here miserable. And all you can think about, I don't mind dying because I can go to heaven and all this stuff will be over with. No. No, no, no. God wants his kingdom come, his will be done here now in your life. Not just when you get there. He wants you filled with peace. He wants you filled with joy. He wants you healthy, wealthy, and wise. This isn't about money. Money can't buy you health. Money can't buy you peace. Money can't buy you joy. Money can buy you things of this world that'll cause you to have them to become an idol instead of Christ being your Savior. All of a sudden, you look at your bank account and say, oh boy, they saved me from that. No. Money's all right, but it's not your God. You need money. God knows that. God wants you to prosper, spirit, soul, and body, and every area of your life should have no lack whatsoever, and that's the scriptures. But it isn't about money. Money is the smallest item in your pocketbook. It's what's in your heart that matters. You don't let it become hardened to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if it starts going that way, be sure. I'll tell you. There's some of you need to talk to them. There's some people right now, their hearts are growing harder and harder. How do you know that? Because they don't care if they're hearing the voice of God. They don't care if they hear the message of the gospel. All they want to do is their thing. And if God doesn't give them what they want, they walk away from him. And that's what the nation of Israel. God tried to bring them into his promises. And because of the hardness of their heart, they did not know him. They knew about him, but they didn't know him. So they never entered into the very promise that God had for them, a place of rest. Homes they did not build, wells they did not dig. Orchards already filled with blessings and blessings on top of blessings. But they never could enter into the promise. Never got the blessings that they could have had. And there's many in the church today. Many, many, many of us will go home to be with the Lord and never experience. And now, as the word says, taste the goodness of God in the land of the living. There's something wonderful about being able to be at rest. When you're at rest, the devil will never, ever, ever again cause you problems. Why? Because if he starts a storm in your life, you'll lift your head up off the pillow, you'll stand up, you'll speak to the storm, it'll be stilled, and you'll go back to sleep. That's simple. That's simple. Yeah, it doesn't work for me. It does work for you. All we have to do is get you to do what God tells you to do, is hear the voice of the Spirit, do what he tells you to do. And I'm telling you, he begins by telling you this. Get into the Word, meditate on it day and night, look for what it says to you, find the promise you need, and turn everything else in your life off. Every TV, every computer, every internet, every phone, everything. Turn it off and say, I'm not coming out of this closet until I got your promise fulfilled in my life. That's what it's going to take, some people. And I'm going to tell you something. It becomes easier as time goes on. It becomes easier as time goes on. The beginning of this and what he said, it's going to cost you. He said, count the cost before you begin the journey. It's going to cost your family sometimes. It's going to cost your friends. I can remember when Diane, keep her in prayer. She's almost there. She was almost here today but couldn't quite make it. Keep her in prayer. I remember when I truly got radically moved by God. And I was in a position where this burden, I had a burden on me, and I was into the Word as much as I could be. I had to go to work during the day. I came home, grabbed my Bible, get into the bedroom, and shut myself down. And I shut myself down for about 6 months away from Diane. Got so bad, she was about ready to leave me. I didn't realize what was going on. I had shut myself in so much with the Word of God. And I got in there, and finally, she told me later, years later, that she was ready to leave me, and God told her, I gave you him, you got to stay with him. I mean, that's the time you don't want to hear his voice. You know, you want to get out, and you can't get out. But you understand what I'm saying to you? It's going to be a radical transformation. It's going to be a radical choice you're going to make. It doesn't give you an excuse. Well, then that means I don't have to put up with my family. I get away from them for a while. No, that's not what it's about. It really isn't. For those who love the Lord and understand the battle that's going on in your life, and they see you separate yourself for a season to hear the voice of God, to get into the scriptures, to meditate on it day and night, if they love you, they let go of you. I understand you've got to take this way. I'll keep you in prayer. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to say, and going along with that, I want to show you that there is some suffering in it. Because whenever the flesh starts getting dealt with, it's painful. It's a struggle, trust me. Been there, done that. Still struggle with it. But it's becoming easier. It's becoming easier in my life. Let me show you something. There was something going on in my life for as long as I can remember. And I had been going to God over and over and over about it, over and over and over about it. And couldn't break through. Couldn't no breakthrough. I kept going, God, your word says, and I keep bringing your word out. And all of a sudden, one day, suddenly, stop, just like that. Have no desire for it anymore. That simple. It wasn't me. I pressed into God. I kept bringing the scriptures before him. Kept going for him. Kept going, oh, Lord, 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 Lord. All of a sudden, I'm telling you, just like that. The enemy lost power that day in those areas of my life that he always had before. Victory, not in me. I didn't do it. I did no more different than what I have been doing. Praying, reading the word, praying the word of God, believing God, but he delivered me from it. Listen to this. Verse Peter, chapter 5, verse 10 says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory, hallelujah, by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He said, listen, going through the process of defeating the flesh and putting it down so the enemy has no power over you, it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. I'm not kidding you. But he said, after you have suffered a while, God will, what? First of all, perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. There's a place God is trying to get you into. A place where you can be, you can defeat the works of the enemy. You can be at rest and at peace. And you can see the provision of God and his promises always being fulfilled in your life. And I don't mean sometimes. Because God said this. He said, I meet all your needs, not some of them, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God meets all of your needs. What is your need today? God says, I promise you, if you don't harden your heart, you take and listen to the gospel and the Holy Spirit speaking through my gospel into your heart, and then do as I instruct you to do with it. He said, you will see my promise come to pass in your life. He also said this to us, God shall not be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. You sow to the flesh, death and destruction. You sow to the Spirit, life eternal. Amen. We got a great God. You knew Jehovah, he knew him as El Shaddai, the great and almighty God. Now know him as Jehovah, your provider. He is the God who is a very present help in your time of need. Not somewhere off there, someplace. No, right there, right where you need him. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's close and bow our heads in prayer. Father, we give you thanks today, Lord, that you have brought us to the place, right to the edge, Lord, just as you did with the nation of Israel. Father, you brought us right to the edge to enter into your promise. Now, Father, if there's any hardness of heart in any of us here, in me or any of us, Lord, reveal it to us. We repent, Father God, of ever not having faith that you said it. We can believe it, and if we can believe it, we can receive it. That our trust and confidence is in you always. And we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Victory. Overcoming. More than a conqueror. In Jesus our Lord. We praise you and give you glory. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody got a testimony they want to share anything before we go on? All right. Okie dokie. Father, let's take up our offering. And then we have a couple announcements. Thank you, Lord. Your cousin who's got cancer. Yeah. Amen. Keep his cousin in prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, that's just another word. And the power of God's word is so much greater than the power of the name of cancer. And we just say, Lord, I thank you today. Lord God, all who are struck by this wicked disease, Father, this attack of the enemy, this demonic thing, Lord, called cancer. We stand right now, Father, by faith and belief and trust in your word. We take authority over it in the name of Jesus, and we command it to come out of these bodies, Lord. We declare they are set free in Christ Jesus. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. And Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning as we give our tithes and offerings. Father, we pray that, Lord, that you see the need of your children. You are Jehovah Jireh, their provider. Those who have need, Father God, in the financial area, Lord, pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to them without the necessity of doing it your way, not letting the burden of financial lack and fear and doubt and unbelief cause them to miss the very promise you have put in their lives of provision. We thank you, Lord, that you open the windows of heaven as your word tells us, Father. And the blessings start pouring out as you speak over us life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want to, Hallelujah. We might have a guest speaker next week. I'm not sure. I'll be here, though. I'm praying about it and see if I'm going to do this. But they may be bringing a message on the blessings of God and how to receive it.